Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, coming to you guys on this Monday after what was not really the best weekend record-wise for your New Orleans Pelicans, going 0-2 with losses on the road to Denver and the Golden State Warriors. Though no big surprise is really the games don't matter anymore, and the Pels kind of have shifted their focus to development. While they were chasing the playoffs, you know, once they were eliminated, rest some guys, make sure no one gets injured, and focus on developing some of these younger guys, giving them very big looks. And you guys know who I'm talking about, the number one person being Cheick Diallo for them, along with Quinn Cook, who is currently, they just signed, by the way, to a two-year deal, similar, it sounds like, to Jordan Crawford's deal for next year. So basically 2 years, was this year and the remainder and next year. It probably has a guarantee by date. You know, otherwise it goes bad. It's not fresh anymore. But guarantee by, you know, basically what it means is if he's on the roster by a certain point, the contract becomes guaranteed for the year. So they still have time to test him out, whether it's the beginning of the year or whatever you have. That we haven't set or said what that date is just yet. But you have to figure, usually it's around the middle of January where contracts become fully guaranteed. So probably somewhere around that. But these are the guys you want to get minutes for right now. And that's why I'm not going to really recap these two games for you. Instead, I've got a guest who's coming on, Chris Ryker, who's probably the first, you know, the best D-League expert there is out there right now. So I'm have him coming on to talk a little bit about what adding a D-League team means for the Pelicans. To give you guys an update on Diallo, how has he played? Where might he project in this Pelicans roster and rotation next year? After that, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Diallo, how he played over these past two games, how Quinn Cook has also played over these past two games as well. Get you guys all set for that. There's another D-League player that the Pelicans signed. Again, second half of the podcast. We're going to cover some things. Also, be sure you stay tuned for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, I've got a great guest coming on who's going to set the record straight on Drew Holiday's potential future max deal that I expect him to get, at least from some team, that the Pelicans might also have to offer him in some capacity. So I have a guest on tomorrow, the great Larry Kuhn, so definitely stay tuned for that. But hey, let's just kind of jump into everything right now. Joining me here on Locked On Pelicans, I've got Chris Ryker, associate editor of The Step Back. He covers the D-League. He's pretty much the best expert on them you can find right now. So, Chris, thanks for joining me here on Locked On Pelicans today.
Oh, yeah, man. Happy to be on and talk about some D-League news and Diallo. It'd be a fun time.
Hey, it's, you know, the D-League all of a sudden, for something that the Pelicans had never really used a ton in the past, has become kind of a big focal point this year, like you said, with Cheick Diallo being set down and back and forth. But the bigger news to me is they added the D-League team going to be somewhere in the Gulf South. You know, what's it kind of mean for the franchise, and how might they kind of use this team?
It's really important. I mean, look at a team like the Miami Heat, who have found guys like Tyler Johnson, Willie Reed. Well, Willie Reed plays with Nets, but Rodney Magruder. They got Hassan Whiteside from the D-League. So, you know, cultivating talent in the D-League is really important, and having your own affiliate is doubly important because you can not only cultivate talent from a player perspective, but you can also develop coaches, bring them up through the ranks as well. And then when you send a guy like Cheick Diallo down, he can run your same schemes. You're going to use all the same lingo. You know, he's not going to go to the Greensboro Swarm and run what they run. You know, he's going to go to your affiliate and be much more comfortable and probably be much more beneficial once he does get his shot up with the big club.
So, you know, is it something that all teams in the league are using? Do they all use it kind of differently? And, you know, since you cover it more than anyone, how do you see it being important to the future of the NBA?
Yeah, some teams definitely use it more than others. I mean, especially the teams who have their affiliates. So this year, 22 teams had their own affiliate. Next year, we're already up to 25. And then the Pelicans are going to start in 18-19. So they still have one more NBA season without their own affiliate. But you see teams using it, some teams using it a lot, like the Houston Rockets have had Kyle Wiltjer, Chinonu Onowaku, and newly signed guys Isaiah Taylor and Troy Williams down in the D-League a lot. And then every now and then they'll bring them up and they'll get minutes with the big club. They did the same thing last year with Montrezl Harrell and Clint Capella in recent memory as well. So it's really important as far as getting these guys that are really young and have high upside minutes, because there's no substitute for live game action. You can try to work with them with your big club all you want in practice, but I don't know if you've ever seen an NBA practice. It's like a glorified walkthrough. Like, there's no full speed things because they just, the season is so long, you know, so they don't do any of that stuff. So getting them in live game action, getting them to work on things that they struggle with against real competition and real defense, is really, really important. And I think that's kind of the way it's going to go for the future, especially with the addition of two-way contracts next year, where a team, an NBA team, can have 17 guys on the roster instead of just 15. So you can kind of assume those last two guys are going to be either really high potential young guys who aren't going to get minutes with the big club. So having your own affiliate to send those guys to play with is going to be really important. So next year, the Pelicans will still be behind the eight ball a little bit because they'll still have to use the same flex assignment that they used this year with Shek Diallo. I mean, he played for three different D-League teams this year because they don't have their own. So that's kind of where they're at right now. You just got to try to guess and choose a little bit and talk to the NBA clubs and the D-League teams and see which one is going to give your guy some minutes so you can find a good fit.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a really good point of just him bouncing around to so many different teams with the parent club. He can just go down, play with the coaches he would normally be coached by. I know the Pels sent someone with him, but it's one guy, and it's not like that can help him in games or everything. And you make a very good point of, you know, the Pelicans practice very rarely during the season. It's not like if he was up here, he'd be going against Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins and putting in heavy work, you know, on like a random Wednesday.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff, I think some fans kind of get lost on it. This isn't college basketball where they're running for 2 hours straight and doing hardcore practices. You know, these bodies, they want to keep them rested as much as they can. They got 82 games and then hopefully the playoffs. So, I mean, the live game stuff is really important. The proximity to the team will be really important because he could theoretically go down, play a D-League game, and then the next day be right back with the Pelicans and not have to travel and not have that wear and tear on his body. So it sounds like small things, but over the course of a full season, I mean, all these things add up. And, you know, with the flex rules right now, no Pelican that's assigned to the D-League is guaranteed anything. You know, they're not guaranteed a starting spot. They're not guaranteed 30 minutes a night. The last team they found, Greensboro, for Shek Diallo was great because they immediately threw him in the starting lineup and gave him 30 minutes a night. But, you know, the two clubs he went to before that didn't do that. So it's all about finding the right team that'll work with you. And usually there's some kind of connection between maybe a coach that's with that franchise you're trying to send them to and your team now, and they have some kind of, you know, handshake agreement that, hey, we'll play your guy some minutes. But they have their own players to work on too. So it's a difficult thing if you don't have your own affiliate. So them announcing and launching their own affiliate is going to be really important for them moving forward.
So going a little bit bigger picture here and just kind of on the fun side of things a tad bit, you know, other than the proximity to New Orleans, is there anything, and they have 11 cities out there between, you know, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and one in Florida. Is there anything that makes a city particularly suited to have a D-League franchise? Is there a type of, like, atmosphere they're trying to cultivate, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, usually what you see is you see them thrown in cities where they don't have any competition. So they don't usually keep them in the same city. I mean, there are some, like Oklahoma City, their D-League team literally plays across the street from where they play. So that's a little bit different. But a lot of times they put them out, you know, somewhere where there's not a lot of competition as far as pro sports. It's usually a little bit smaller cities to where they can get – it's super family friendly and they get they get fans to come out really in droves. They usually have like a school day here and there throughout the season where they invite like a whole school to come out and just get a whole bunch of people in the stand. So That's really what they're looking at. If you look where a lot of the teams are located now, it's usually smaller cities. It's not like major cities, because they're just not going to compete in those cities. There's too many events going on.
Yeah, of course, it makes sense to put it in like specific places, and that's why I think all the names on the list, Baton Rouge doesn't really make a ton of sense to me, even when you have a big college team, even though if they're terrible at basketball as they were this year, it doesn't make a lot of sense to really put it in there, like you said, and have the competition. So going back to Cheick Diallo, how has he looked for the various teams he's played for this year?
I've been really excited about what I saw. I mean, we didn't see a lot at Kansas because he just didn't play. So then your mind starts to think, well, is he as good as a recruit as everybody said he was? Because why isn't Bill Self playing him? You know, that kind of stuff starts to creep into your mind a little bit. But I think the Pelicans might have gotten a legitimate steal there early in the second round with Cheick. I mean, his feel for the game is really good. He's got really, really soft touch around the basket, and not just around the basket, but, you know, out to 10 to 15 feet for a 6'9 forward. He's got really, really soft touch. He's got this like one-handed floater that he pulls out every now and then, which is like Tony Parker-esque type of floater. That's real nice for a 6'9 super athletic guy to have. And defensively, he's already got the instincts of somebody who could play in the NBA right now. His body positioning isn't always the best, and he gets caught out of position here and there, and his awareness is a little off. But as far as like his instincts around the rim, both on the weak side and guarding his own man, some of those things like shot blocking, you just can't teach. There's a reason not every 6'10 up guy blocks shots. I mean, Blake Griffin doesn't block a ton of shots, and it's not because he's not athletic and can't get up there. It's just because some guys just don't have that, and some do, and Cheick does, man. You can see it immediately. That's the thing that stands out to me right away, really. The three things are kind of his feel for the game, his defensive instincts, and his athleticism for his size. I mean, he runs up and down the court like he's a guard.
I mean, for a second-round project, and I mean, what, he played barely over 200 minutes at Kansas, so you'd have to call it that. Like, those are pretty good, three good things to have, like, on your side is check marks, right?
Yeah, and I don't know that the Pelicans are going to want him to be an offensive power force. So, you know what I mean? They got Anthony Davis, they got Cousins. You know, they're probably not going to want him to come in and score 15 points a night. They're going to want him to come in, play 15 to 20 minutes, get some rebounds, get some blocks, insert some energy, and he can do those things, I think, as early as next season. He can do those things and be beneficial to the team.
So before we get into kind of what we want to see out of him the rest of the year and then going into next year, where are some of the areas he's struggled at playing in the D-League so far?
He doesn't have great court vision. Passing is not his thing right now. I wrote a feature on him last week, and at Kansas, I think he had one assist in his 200 plus minutes. And this year he played over 700 minutes in the D-League and had 18 assists total. So once he gets it, it's going up. So, you know, you get to the NBA level, and that's a little bit harder to do because teams will just key in on you. If they know you're not going to ever pass it out, you know, that's just not going to work. So he's got to work on that a little bit. And I think some of that is the fact that he's not playing with his own team, you know, so some of that is chemistry. But going back to Kansas, I mean, you can see it's an ongoing problem the last 2 years. So I think they'll have to work with him a little bit on vision. And sometimes he tends to not get lost on offense, but he tends to just stand. He's not always moving on offense in the half court, particularly in transition. He looks like a monster. But you get him in the half court, and sometimes he can get kind of lost in the offense. He's not super assertive as far as wanting the basketball, even though when he gets it, like I said, it's going up. He's just got to work on some of those things, and he's definitely got to bulk up a little bit. I mean, he's very slight right now. He doesn't need to gain a ton of weight, but he's got to get a little bit stronger so that he can continue to finish around the basket when he gets to that next level.
I mean, all that makes a lot of sense, too. So these final couple of games for the Pelicans – it sounds like they're going to be featuring him a bit more. I don't think they're going to just shut everyone down and give him, you know, 30-plus minutes a game. But if he's given 15 to 20, how do you kind of want – how should he be used coming off the bench with, like, the second unit?
You know, I kind of made the Clint Capella comparison in my feature, and I think that's how they should use him. No, tell him not to worry too much about – I don't think they're going to run offense through him a lot. You know, he's not a guy right now you can throw down on the block and give him the ball. I think he's more of a garbage man at this point. Attack the offensive glass, attack the defensive glass, and block shots. You know, and what he does really, really well right now is he blocks shots and keeps the ball in play, which is a thing I think that is overlooked by a lot of maybe casual fans.
Oh, tremendous.
You know, that's an extra possession you get for your team, you know, and a lot of times teams blocking the shots, and it's not an intimidating block, but it doesn't matter. You block the shot, you get an extra possession for your team, and you're off to the races. You know, a lot of times he was sparking transition baskets for Greensboro with his blocks, and I think that's a really important thing. So I'm wanting to see kind of increased positioning from him on the defensive end, especially as far as like off when the ball's not with his man, when he's off the ball. And then just to bring that energy for them. And I think I want to see if all these things that I've been watching all season can translate. So hopefully they do. I think the skills that he has right now will translate. They're not necessarily, because he's not putting up 20 shots a night. You know, I mean, the things he can bring right now are pretty much all energy related.
Yeah, and the little I've seen of him playing the NBA, and I really haven't watched almost any of his D-League minutes, he's just like a ball of energy that seems like he's willing to just almost explode or anything at any given time. He really wants to run, which might make sense why he struggles a little bit in the half court. So next year, this Pelicans roster is going to be in a bit of a state of flux where they've kind of got to flesh it out and, you know, resign one or two key pieces here. Does he project to be maybe a fourth big for the Pels next year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping he can play, you know, 12 to 17 minutes a night for them. You know, if he can do that, I think they should continue to bring him along slowly, especially next year. But I don't think he should be spending too much time in the D League next year. Not the amount of time he spent this year, anyways. Maybe half that time when they just can't find minutes for him. But yeah, you got to find out what he can do at that level. You got to see it, because a lot of these skills, like I said, I think they're translatable, but whether or not they do that or not will be really important. And you got to think he's going to improve over the summer. He seems like a guy, from everything I've heard, that works really hard. You know, even when he was down in the D League, all the coaches there said he was a consummate professional. He was working. So if he does that over the summer with his own club, you got to see a jump for him especially towards the beginning of next season.
It's definitely going to be exciting for the, you know, final couple of games of the year to get him out there to actually watch him. I'm sure the Pels are going to kind of pitch him as their first round pick for next season, since they're likely not going to have one this year, and they're kind of, you know, push him into that role, which means hopefully he's going to be getting a lot of minutes. So, Chris, thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Pelicans today, and let everyone know where they can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow me at Chris_Reichert. It's R-E-I-C-H. ERT, just covering the D League over the step back, and happy to come on, man. Happy to come on and talk about the D League and young players. Love it.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure I'll keep having you on as a recurring guest as we go forward, especially in the next year and then the year after. So thank you very much again. So everyone, please give him a follow. Check him out at the Step Back, the NBA vertical. It's pretty great. So again, Chris, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, man.
So there you have it. Not going to get much better analysis than Chris Reichert, guy who just spends a ton of his time watching and covering the D-League, giving you an update on Cheick Diallo, what the D-League team means for the Pelicans, and where he sees Diallo, you know, being in this rotation next year. And before I give you guys an update on how Diallo played this over the weekend in the game against the Nuggets and the Warriors, I do want to say, don't forget that Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, is available on Audioboom. Please like it on Facebook, follow it on Twitter. All of that really matters towards keeping this free for you guys and coming to you 5 days a week like no other podcast is. And also, hey, your company could be right here. Sponsor Locked On Pelicans, and your company will reach a passionate 98% male audience. That is 78% between the ages of 18 to 44. 75% of that's from 25 to 54. Those are ideal demographics. Recent studies have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to interact with sponsors than other forms of media. Get your company great exposure right here on Locked On Pelicans. Rates are very reasonable and based solely on the number of listeners, so you get your value. Email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. Again, that's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com to get started for your company today. So before I get to how Quinn Cook and Cheick Diallo played over the weekend in these two games where they finally were getting some really significant minutes with this New Orleans Pelicans team, I do want to say that the news came out through Yahoo and their NBA website called The Vertical that the Pelicans are signing forward Alex Toupain. Alex, it's Axel, A-X-E-L, Toupain. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his last name, but honestly, he's got one of the cooler names in the NBA right now, I have to say. Anyone whose first name is Axel, you can never really, you know, complain about your team having, unless they take forever to release an album. So they announced that he'd probably be joining the team probably for the rest of the year for these two final games coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday. So a little bit of a scouting report on him. Managed to watch the D-League playoff game he played in. He was with the Raptors 905 team, where he put up a 41-point outing in their playoff game. He's a forward who's got, you know, kind of the ability to be a 3-and-D guy. He's someone who's thought of to have that kind of potential. He's able to get to the rim. He's got a pretty good Euro step if you really watch him, where he can kind of change his momentum a little bit to allow him to get to the rim. You know, he's 6'7", 210 pounds, known as a perimeter defender. Came off the bench mainly for that Raptors 905 team. But you know what? He's kind of got the skills. He averaged 16.1 points, 4.1 rebounds, 3.6 assists, and 1.1 steals to at least give him a chance. You know, if he can be a 3-and-D small forward of the Pels think, they might be able to get a rotation player on the cheap next year. Hey, that's certainly a good thing. And frankly, if he's scoring 41 points, that's worth a look over final two games. Maybe, you know, a contract that gets him into this Pelicans summer league team. But hey, he's not here yet, and currently the Pelicans still have Cheick Diallo and Quinn Cook. So in the Denver game, you know, and these games don't matter. This is why I'm not really recapping it for you. There was no Boogie playing. Anthony Davis played just 24 minutes pretty much. Still had 24 points. Good night for him. But it was more interesting just to see how these other guys played. You know, in Denver, who's trying to get into the playoffs and still really wants to win, wasn't going to be, you know, kind of a rollover team. So Cheick Diallo gets 12 minutes, goes 2 of 6 from the field, scores 6 points, grabbed 3 rebounds. Not really just like the best run for him. I think they kind of wanted to ease him in. Quinn Cook got a little bit more, about 23 and a half minutes, 4 of 9 from the field, 8 points, 4 assists. 0 for 1 from 3. He doesn't shoot as much from 3 as I think I'd like from him overall. But they played okay. You know, Jordan Crawford, the other guy who you kind of want to keep an eye on, 20 points from him, very good night. Again, it doesn't really matter kind of what else happened with anybody. These minutes don't matter all of a sudden now that you're not, you know, in playoff competition. So against the Warriors, though, both of these guys kind of perked up a little bit. Quinn Cook put in 22 points on 10 of 13 shooting. Think about that one for a second. 2 of 3, 10 of 13 shooting. 3 of those were from 3. So he's 8 from 10 non-3-pointers. Didn't really get to the line, which is a bit disturbing. But it shows he can play. 22 points against a full Warriors team pretty much that was welcoming Kevin Durant back. That's not too bad at all. Cheick Diallo got above 20 minutes, 26 in this game. Scored 7 points. 9 rebounds. He was 3 of 6 shooting. He's just a ball of energy, really wants to get out there and play. Also, by the way, of note for Quinn Cook, 0 turnovers. Always a good thing. In that Warriors game, Ajinsa scored 17 as well. He's been playing well down this stretch that makes you think they could potentially trade him, or at least to move his salary and not necessarily to get anything good in return. But hey, why not? So overall, you know, you actually saw these two guys show some talent. And in the first game against the Nuggets, it's also worth noting that Tim Frazier didn't play, which I think goes to show how uncommitted to him, non-committed, whatever the word is, to Tim Frazier that this Pelicans team is. Also of note, by the way, combined over these two games, Solomon Hill is a good 2 for 14. In these two games he played, which is a bit concerning, to be honest. He could be taking a larger role with the team here and shooting a ton more, though. I think the plan really is get Diallo the ball, get Quinn Cook the ball. But again, 2 of 14. That's not ideal still. But we'll see how it goes. Again, hopefully they can get Toupain, or whatever, however you pronounce his last name. Axel is what we're going to call him, I've decided. With the team soon. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Chris Ryker. Very big thanks to him for coming on, shedding some light on Diallo, a guy, you know, a lot of people haven't been able to see this year, but really showing some things. And it's going to be fun to watch him over these next two games. Stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. I have the tremendous Larry Kuhn coming on to talk about the salary cap, the CBA, and Drew Holiday's max contract. We got the exact numbers for you guys. That's a good thing here, so we understand what we're going to do going forward with him. So that'll be a fun interview. I'll preview the game tomorrow against the Los Angeles Lakers, who, by the way, are winning. Just one of us on TV here as I'm recording this last night. Kind of surprising. Their tank is crashing. They should be losing, but they got young guys who want to go out and play and win. So it'll be a lot of fun to preview that. You know, kind of maybe it'll be a competitive game for Diallo to get into, but that's for tomorrow's episode. So again, stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun this week. Still a lot to cover, even though playoffs are out of the picture here. So stay tuned. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.